Greet you all in Jesus' name. The visitors, as well as our usual gathering together. And we're thankful for a beautiful Lord's Day morning, and we're thankful that for all that God has done for us. And sometimes looking back, we wonder if we're as thankful as we should be. And I guess probably we fall short sometimes in that. But I did think Thanksgiving is coming up this week, and somehow it always seems to me better to think about it ahead of time rather than after a time. Although if the preacher next week wants to preach on Thanksgiving, I'm sure there'll be much there yet, left yet. But at any rate, is it a tradition where we bring this up? And it maybe is somewhat, and some of it at least is a tradition in which people have decided to set a day for Thanksgiving. And yet the way people do many times, there's a lot of other things that take the place of what it really means. Thanksgiving means it's Thanksgiving of heart is what I was titling this morning. Thanksgiving of heart. And we do seem to have a culture that sets aside a certain day, and some of them perhaps are not thinking of a change of heart as much as all the things that go with the day. But at any rate, there we respect the fact that a day is set aside, and may we then have a change of heart as well as giving recognition to the day of Thanksgiving. In Psalms 50 and verse 14, he says, "Offer unto God thanksgiving, and pay thy vow unto the Most High." And so this is, should you say, a command? And it is possible to follow commands sometimes without putting your heart into it. And that's why we need to keep reminding ourselves of having a thankful heart, because it is important in our Christian life that our heart is thankful. And so as we think of that, it's more than positive thinking. But it's the vehicle we use in personal experience to rise above circumstances. Now, there's commandments in the Bible, and we follow them. But what God has told us would lead us to that place where thanksgiving is the vehicle we use in our personal experience to rise above these things that are standing before me that I can't face. It's just too much. I can't take it. But we go back to thanksgiving and start thanking the Lord. And look what he blessed us with. And we thank him for all he done. And there's always going to be room for thanksgiving there as we really are walking with the Lord and in our personal experience that thanksgiving is the vehicle we use in personal experience to rise above circumstance. And I have found that personally various times that when I'm becoming discouraged or things look dark, and you begin to thank the Lord. You know the Bible says this is what you should do in every situation and every circumstances. You thank the Lord and you think about what he's done and the goodness of God. And that's the thing that is going to take you to the place where you can face the circumstances, because you are thanking God and giving him thanks. Thinking of the day, I don't know, some facts that are of the day that it was the day in 1621. The first Thanksgiving was observed by the Plymouth Colony. A good harvest led its governor, William Bradford, to plan a festival to give thanks. The feast included 50 pilgrims and 90 Wampanoag Indians and lasted 3 days. And another fact connected with that, historians have pointed out that turkey was not among the dishes served at the first Thanksgiving. The menu was venison, ducks, geese, oysters, lobster, eel, fish, pumpkins, cranberries were also on the menu. So they didn't have the turkey, although a big issue is made about the turkey. One is given to the president at a White House ceremony, and it seems to be the same ceremony where he pardons the turkey and so on. So we're not really talking about all those things when we think of Thanksgiving. It's things that are connected with the day that that people do, and in order to take an interest in the time and promote the day as a time to come together for Thanksgiving. And so we are thankful that people see the need of doing that, by giving thanks and being thankful. And so we want to do that as well. So thinking again back by in the experience of life, we begin to become discouraged and turning to thanks to God, and we see that what they done back then was had a time of thanksgiving after lots of hard times, where they had food came, invited others in. And I've been working with the Russian Mennonites with a group at one time in which they started a school in Massachusetts, and was at some services that they made quite a do of that day. But it was also considered a harvest day where we had a service, and the pumpkins and the corn and all kinds of food or things were up front, in which they thank God then for the harvest they had and the harvest time and the blessings of God's blessing, and so on. And so it is a blessing to take note of what God has done, what God has given. We're again at that time of the year, and we are thankful for the bountiful harvest that He has given us, and so we keep that in mind as we think the need of our hearts in being thankful to Him for what He has done. Thinking then of the Thanksgiving at heart, that there's always something, and many things, that we can thank the Lord for. And the story is that Matthew Henry, he is the commentator on the Bible, I believe, he was robbed, and after it was over, he thought about this, and he was thankful. One, he said, he was never robbed before. That's the first time that happened. And so he was thankful for that. And two, they took his purse and not his life. They took the wallet, purse, but they didn't take his life, where that happens at times as well. And they took all, but not his meal. He had a little bag where he had his lunch in, and they didn't take that, so he had that yet. And then he was thankful that he was the one robbed and not the robber. And so there's any issues in life, there is things you can find to be thankful for. And he did in that case, that he was He was thankful for what took place. And sometimes we maybe take happenings and things that happen so for granted. And that was, we didn't want that to happen. And instead of that, we could be finding things that we could thank the Lord for, that knowing that the Lord is still in command, the Lord is still ruling, and his purposes to bring into pass in our life things that we need, and those things he can bring to remind us again of all the good things that he gave us and what we can do that we can continue to remember and think about being thankful with him. Number one, we want to think of when we're thankful, something happens to you. It's God's will is being worked out in your life, and we're thankful for that. Whether it was something we would have wanted to happen or not, it's part of God's will for you, and he is leading your life. Even though it may be somewhat of a negative thing in your experience, yet God saw some reason that this needs to come into your life. And so we can be thankful that it shows that God is still controlling my life, even though it was something negative. And you understand that by faith, because we believe that we believe the Lord, we believe God, and the Bible tells us that this is the way it is, and so we might as well start thanking the Lord because this is for our good and for our benefit. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." That's God's will. And so in it, give thanks. And I know that it's a challenge for me once sometimes. And maybe the bigger challenge is when a lot of little things go wrong or a lot of little things face you rather than the big event. But a lot of little things take place and it begins to pull down your stability or your mood because of these things taking place. And so we need to remind ourselves in them times if we sense we're becoming downhearted or discouraged, giving thanks is the vehicle that's going to help you to find your way out of that kind of mood, that sincerely give thanks to him. And so in trials and hardships, we think of Philippians 4:12. Where Paul knew how to abound and how to suffer want. He knew how to face both of them and still maintain his equilibrium with his Lord, the balance that he wanted to have with the Lord. But he, in the hard experiences, it are the good experiences, are the times of want. He could see something in it for that is the blessing that they could have to the Lord. In a book I read one time, I think it was the one Corrie ten Boom. I didn't look at it lately, but so maybe I don't get all my facts straight. But one of the things I knew when these two women were working hard labor and they didn't have clothing, they didn't have food. It's the time of the Holocaust in one of the camps that the Nazis had for them. And what they would remind each other of things. Just think what the Lord done for us. Look how he suffered. Look how he worked with people into the night and times maybe and met the needs of others till he became so weary he needed to go apart a little and rest a bit. And so they would remind each other of these things. And so that's a challenge to us. Let's remind each other of all the good things God has given us, and we can begin with and at least never forget the fact of our eternal salvation, that going from darkness to light, that we didn't know where we were going, we didn't know what life was about until we had that meeting with the Lord, and the light went on, and we finally saw it was about Him. It was to God's glory that we were put here, and it's to God that we're to return that glory. And that's why we're here, and that's why we're living here, and that's why we come to church, and that's why we keep working. We're working to the glory of God and not for our own. And I may tend to forget that, and maybe we all do at times. And so something happens to you when you begin to thank God. And also, it may have a cumulative effect, a building up in being giving thanks to God, that it will continue to bring blessing as we continue to walk that way. Philippians 4:6, there is some verses there I'd like to look at, where he says, be careful for nothing. Don't be worried. Don't be, you know, we need to do our part. We have our responsibility. And if I don't get this right, you know, yes, we want to do what we need to do. But we're not to be overly worried about it. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. When we go to prayer and we have our needs and we want to present them to the Lord and we want an answer to it, with thanksgiving. And it's even in order to thank the Lord that He's going to work this out and that there is going to come help and blessing through this before He actually did it. Because we need to give with our asking for needs with thanksgiving, we let our requests be known unto God. And so it goes on from there. When you do that, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And I felt that was noteworthy. Yes, you can start saying thank you, Lord, and the feeling isn't really there. You still have that feeling of dread of what could come out of all this. And so the feeling may not be there, but keep thanking you, Lord. And in the next experience, in that day yet, thank the Lord. And till in the night, thank the Lord, even though you don't know what's going to come out of all this. And thank the Lord the next day as well. And finally, you'll find the Lord will bring you to a place of peace. He's going to work it out. That the peace of God, which passes all understanding. You can't understand how that God could bring about and change the situation the way He does. But even with unthought of things that begin to happen around you, not necessary to you, it presents to you a different setting from what you were in. And now you are facing a situation that has changed. That happens so many times in church life. Changes take place and you're presented with a different situation. It happens in your personal life if you let God take control. And it's going to keep your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. Then finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good, report of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. And so there you have a part to do to maintain the right spirit of thankfulness. Don't think on things that stir you up. And I know I can experience that at times. And you begin thinking on something, and after a bit you feel your blood pressure starting to go up, and you realize this isn't bringing me to peace. It's trouble, and you need to, by the grace of God, in Christ Jesus, to finally our minds keep your hearts in mind through Christ Jesus. And so you'll need His grace. You'll need His, what He has to offer. And so then you can, by the grace of God, find it. So it has a cumulative effect in that you learn to find peace. You learn to live with peace more and more. And if we continue to give thanks to Him. It affects our attitude. In 2 Corinthians 9:15, where, and also 2 Corinthians 9:15, we'd like to turn to that scripture, where it speaks of, thanks be unto God for this unspeakable gift. Now, in this chapter 9, it's speaking of giving. And he points it out to you. And as I think that this unspeakable gift is what Christ done for us, you can always have that in the back of your mind, that salvation is a wonderful gift, even though things look the way they do. But as we're looking at this scripture, you know, giving may be somewhat a gauge of what the condition of our heart is. Giving, we think of giving, it can be money, and that's what we many times think of giving. And I appreciate times brethren dig in their pocket, and like this morning, and go a little beyond what normally they thought they would do. Because it gives evidence of a thankful heart. And so sometimes we need to do that. I knew an occasion one time where a minister was with another man, and this other man, they let pass the basket or the offering or whatever, and the man opened the wallet, and he didn't know which one he should put out. And the one was but bigger than the other, and which denomination he should put out. And the minister said to him, settle it, put it all in. He didn't seem to know right which one he ought to put in. And sometimes, you know, maybe we should respect that urge. That might be from the Lord. That, okay, I'll give the biggest one. Done with. Then my conscience is at rest at least. But we also realize that we sometimes need to use common sense. The widow gave her 3 mites, and it was her living. I'm not sure if the Lord meant we should all give everything we have, and that settles it. But I'm just saying that sometimes the urge of which we should do, you can settle that simply by giving the larger amount. But as we look in this scripture, something I noticed here before and I wanted to talk about, and so being recently at a deacon meeting and about the subject of giving, and so I wanted to look at this, that it has a lot to do with how thankful we are in our hearts. When we are thankful to God and our hearts is thankful, why then we're willing to give it out. It maybe it's talking to somebody and give your time and so forth. But if there's a thankful heart, why then we feel like we have plenty. And Paul knew in whatever state he was going to be content in that. But it goes on to tell him then about talking, for teaching the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you, for I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia and Achaia, was ready a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked very many. They were lifting money for the I believe, was the poor people in Jerusalem because of the famine they had there. And so he says, I know how, what you're minded like. I mean, yous are going to give, he says. Yous are the forwardness of your mind. And then he says, but this I say in verse 6, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. If you give, God will give back to you. And so every man, according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. So there's the point. When we're thankful, we're cheerful in giving, God's blessing is upon us. And I'm not necessarily saying this because I think you lack very much in that or something, but the issues of life we all face. And one of the big expressions of thankfulness that it tells us here is how we feel to others, how we feel about the things we have and what we want to give out. And he says, God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that he, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. And we're going to look at about 7 points here that would tell us what giving is about, what the real purpose is about giving. It's not simply to maintain the system. And in today's medical world, you're just about not going to handle it alone. Few of us would be able to. And so we need help of others. And so we develop a method or a way of doing that. But it's actually not, there's more involved as we think of thankfulness of heart than feeding the system. Make sure the church just has money they need. Make sure the other things have money we need. And it has more to do with what spiritual things are taking place in the matter of giving. Looking down to verse 11, that he says that being enriched, after verse, God is going to lead you in every good work, being enriched in everything and all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. God has this set up that when you give, then through, because they give, Paul was going to give thanks to God. God is the one that needs glory in our life. God is the one we need to thank. And he is what the Christian life is all about. He has made the provision for it. And he says they are to be enriched in all bountifulness. They gave plenty, so there's bound through us, thanksgiving. Paul was going to give thanksgiving. The people that heard about it were going to give thanksgiving. That's what the Christian life is about, thanksgiving to God, returning to him what he gave to us. And that's what we need to work toward. And then he goes on, and so that's number one, thanksgiving to God for the administration of this service. Not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgiving unto God. This service, it supplies the want of the saints. So that's one thing it does. It supplies the need to those that didn't have enough. And it supplies that need. So that's the second thing it does. Thanksgiving to God meets somebody's need, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. Look at all the people that through that little thing are giving thanks to God. Now, we know the Bible won't teach us to go around and tell everybody everything, what we give to everybody, because of how good we are. But when we give, it's going to be thanks, bring many thanksgiving. The people that receive it, if you give it with a true heart, you can thank God for being able to give. And so it brings thanksgiving unto God. whilst by the experiment of this experience of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ. God is glorified because of their professed subjection. They did what the Bible says. They did what the Lord wanted them to do. That's cause for rejoicing for the Christian. And so we can rejoice in that. And for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. And so it's cause for rejoicing. And by this, by their prayer for you, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you. And so there we have another thing that it fosters here, prayer. That because people had need, they prayed to God, and you had abundance, and you had enough, and you, with a thankful heart, you felt like you had maybe pretty much. And I'm sure that's our case here as we look into other countries and how they have to live in some of the areas. But he says, so by their prayer for you, which long after you, it brought a fellowship of feeling between those that received the blessing and those that got it and those that gave it. And it demonstrated the exceeding grace of God that is in you. So it's a plus plus for what God wants of us all the way through in every way because of the spiritual things it works out in the various individuals. And that's how it is many times in life that God is working out his purposes and he's changing the situation. Like I said before, he's making things take place around you that the proper stage is set where you can find yourself where God wants you to be. And then he ends up, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. And the one thing I'm backing up, the one other thing it does, that because you having all, back in verse 8, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. There's going to be sufficiency around that we all can abound to every good work. If some don't have anything and you keep what you have, why then there's one area of the world or nation or city that is not going to have sufficiency in all things. But when we share, why then we can find sufficiency in all things. A little more on that subject yet in Galatians where he speaks there of... In chapter 6, where he says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Speaking of putting your efforts in prayer and helping a brother that isn't finding victory in his life. And then he says, to bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. The issue of sharing one with another, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. One of the things I want to think about here, I've talked of the medical world and what has taken place there. And, you know, hardly any of us, depends what sickness would be able to handle it. And from that standpoint, we simply wouldn't have enough money. But as we think of helping and sharing one to another. And like I said, we have a certain system of doing it, but God wants it to come from the part. But with that, We have, when God brings something into our life, we have a responsibility to take the effort and put forth effort in that. And that when God sends us a bill, it's our bill. We need to take responsibility for it. And we do need to help one another, and we want to help one another. And we should help one another. But there's a certain way in which we need to think of it, take responsibility for it. Like I said, we aren't going to, one person can hardly meet what the medical world wants out of you nowadays. And yet we all like to be healthy, we all like to keep on living. But as we let every man prove his own work, then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. And every man shall bear his own burden. And so there is a responsibility there for each one. When God brings something like that into our life, we should be thinking of what efforts we can make toward this and the need of that. And rather than, this goes to the church or it goes to the insurance company because I don't have a responsibility in it. And so we do, in brother and sister, try to foster a little bit of feeling in an individual that this is your personal responsibility. And we feel we need to do that. That to be biblical, to be right. And we have been trying to stay away from insurance companies. And it seems like the more systematic we get, the more and more we become like an insurance company. But at the same time, that's one of the things we're trying to foster, that we sense a need of our own responsibility to do something on it, and do something as what we can. We face all kinds of situations and so on. But we want to allow God to help. We see the see other things that in looking then as we're thinking yet of Thanksgiving, it has an effect on our attitude, which is what we were talking about, and how we look at things. If we feel thankful for what we have and what effort we want to put into what God has sent our way. And then Thanksgiving has its effect on God. And I remember when COVID hit and Perry Yoder in Ohio had COVID, and I called him one time, and he opened his heart and was weeping. But I told him that Jill announced it here, and we were praying for him. And he thought he was going to die, and he asked the doctors, and they didn't know. But he said that's why he got well, because God was glorified. When we prayed, God was glorified and made him well. And I can accept that. Yes, I believe that's true. But we understand how far-reaching it is if we just do those little things that God wants us to do. And praying and being thankful and for what he has done. An effect upon God is that I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. That's what the Christian life is about. We believe in God. We believe he is the supreme being. We believe in one God. And our God through Jesus Christ has made a way that we can have a relationship and give him what he wants, and he can protect us. He made a covenant with us, and he can keep us, and he can save us from sin, and also save us from hell and the things that would come into our life unless we had the cleansing power of Jesus. Colossians 3:15 says, "And let all the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which you are called in one body, and be thankful." And so let that peace dwell in our hearts, and to be thankful for that, for all that God has done for us. So as we think of the matter of thanksgiving, realizing that God wants a thankful heart. He wants a heart that's open, that pouring out to feeling like we have a lot, plenty. The Lord has given us a lot. And even though sometimes that bill may come, we don't know right how we're going to meet it, yet God has done much for us. All right, let's kneel with prayer.